Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 101 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Gil-Tacker. Thanks for joining me again today on the podcast. I've got some updates for you. I've got some new projects to talk about. I got a talk with Wilson coming up, obviously, is what we do every time. An update on my condition as well. What I'm going to do with that is I'm going to do it at the end like I did last time. I think that worked out pretty well. So if you're not concerned about that, then I'll give you a heads up and say, oh, I'm going to talk about that now. You can turn the video off and watch something else so that you don't have to wait through anything through the whole front of the video. Okay. So I've got that. And we're also going to do the neon sign draw. That was lagging because I've had my own issues, as you guys know, some health issues and everything, and also working at the same time. And of course, you've got Wilson who went all over the place during the election, and we were way behind that. So we're going to be drawing for that. But you know, let me tell you one more thing. I don't want to digress yet too much, but I just finished the interview that I did with Wilson, and it's funny because neither of us could figure out what neon sign we were giving away. I didn't check, but anyway, it's going to be pretty funny because we're like, we don't even know what sign we're giving away, but we'll get back to you on that. Anyway, so regardless, the first thing I want to do is thank our sponsors, Vortex, the force of optics. So thanks so much, everyone over at Vortex Canada, for continuing to support the podcast. We truly appreciate it. You can check out all of their great gear over at vortexcanada.net. That's vortexcanada.net. And of course, our fantastic friends over at the Saskatchewan Reverse Chapter of Safari Club International. Great group. We truly appreciate their support. You can check out all of their fantastic work over at saskriversseci.com. That's saskriversseci.com. All right. So I've had to do a few takes. It kind of hurts for me to talk right now because my tongue's still bleeding. My roof of my mouth is still bleeding. My inside of my cheek's still bleeding. And my brain wants me to talk lazy. So if I sound a little weird, that's why. It's saying don't move your tongue or your mouth. But anyway, so I've had to do a few takes of this, and I'm also trying to make it short, but the things I have to talk to you about, a couple of them are long, so just bear with me, because I think there's some valuable information in there, not only for members of the CCFR and for our supporters, but also people that are not members of the CCFR, our aunties. There's some important information coming up for you, and I think you should know. All right, so here we go. There was this big Twitter flame war, okay, that went on. And I think it started like last Wednesday or something insane. Went all the way through the weekend. These people fighting with each other all weekend. I was like, don't you have something to do on the weekend? But anyway, like there's more to life than Twitter. But anyway, all through the weekend, I think it like ended like yesterday, which is Wednesday. It went on for a stinking week, man. And so anyway, it's creating a situation where I can talk about why the CCFR does the things that we do. You can think about why you support the CCFR if you do or why you don't or whatever based on the things that we do and why we do them and stuff like that. And then also, you know, like I say, I want a little bit of a message for those people that engage in the behavior that we had to try to mitigate over the weekend as well. So because I think it's important information. If you don't have it, you're going to want this information. So when it comes to Twitter, if you follow me, you probably know I'm not on there very much on social media at all, right? Because I got things to do. I got important work to do on your behalf. And so usually, you know, when I get up, I'll have my coffee, I'll leave through Twitter, figure out if I'm missing anything, if there's anything going on. Sometimes I actually go to the CCFR Twitter feed to find out what's going on at the CCFR because I'm not involved in at all, right? So that's when I find out like, oh, we got some big donations or we got, you know, this is launching. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. And I'm not even joking, right? It's not even a joke. So, and then I'll flip through Facebook to make sure I'm not missing anything and then I'll just go to work. And then maybe later on in the day or maybe at the end of the day, I'll kind of just flip through and see. I might tweet or retweet something and that's about it. So anyway, there's a big flame war. And the flame war was it was consistent with what we see all the time. So what we see is on our side of the discussion, we use a lot of facts and we use a lot of truth and we verify and we reference. As you know, everything the CCFR does is always fully referenced. And we produce actual, I guess you could call them meta studies, right? Meta analysis, where we look at so-called studies, you know, find out, are they studies, are they op-eds, or what are they? And we reference everything, and even the brochure that we did, full reference site, and we make sure that everything that we do is completely accurate, right? And the reason we can do that for two reasons. Number one, we're right, right? The facts are on our side. And I think most people know that, right? And this is why we see the behavior that we see on Twitter and with our leaders. And we always want to make sure, and I certainly that I do this, that people understand what a reasonable person that I am and what a reasonable organization the CCFR is, in that we are always ready to break off of conflict, to forgive and forget, and restart our relationship with everybody. I mean, that's something that I learned in business decades ago, right? That's it's an important aspect of being a successful business person, is you have to work with people. Sometimes you want the same things, but you have personality rubs and whatever. And it's at any time is a good time to say, hey, you know what? Let's restart, because I think we both want the same thing, and it would actually help us both to work together. So you always got to leave that door open. Everywhere I try to open that door, get slammed on my face. As you guys know, if you've been following us for some time, because the other side just won't do it. But I will always leave that door open. And that's why I don't use a lot of ad hominem attacks. I mean, I'm not perfect. I'm just a human, and I get frustrated. But if you had no life, although a lot of these Twitter people have no life, go through every tweet. It's not a lot of them. I think it's, you know, whatever. Go through every tweet and find every one of them where I've made an ad hominem attack. I'll guarantee you it isn't more than 1%. Might not even be close to 1%. But I do it once in a while because I get frustrated, call people a moron or an idiot because they have it coming. Other than that, I really avoid doing that because I always want to make sure that people know that they can come to us and say, hey, I want to have that conversation. I'm like, no problem. I'll be there. Tell me where and when. And we'll work on it together because I think it's important. So anyway, the strategy on Twitter, and this comes from our leaders. Okay. So Bill Blair, one of the worst people I ever met in my life. I don't think I've ever met anyone even close to as malevolent and horrible as Bill Blair. And the reason I say that is because if you look at how he behaves as a government minister, he's called us extremists, like me, right? I'm the gun lobby, right? Tracy Wilson's the gun lobby. The CCFR is the gun lobby, right? Other groups are the gun lobby too. Extremists, homophobes, racists, Islamophobes, transphobic, misogynist, like all of the worst things with no proof, nothing to ever, he's never pointed at a single thing, right? As far as I've seen, never pointed at anything. Just says, and he's enabled by someone that does the same thing, which is Justin Trudeau. I don't even think Justin Trudeau is as bad as Bill Blair. Bill Blair is just, I don't even know what's wrong with him. I think he's missing, again, just my opinion, I think he's missing parts where he's even sensitive to how he treats other people, or whether or not I don't think he can distinguish truth from lies. I don't think he really can even distinguish between them. I think he's missing those parts, right? And again, I don't know, I'm not a doctor. I just look at his behavior and I can't explain it. And of course, he's being enabled by Justin Trudeau. This is the theme of the Liberal Party of Canada. And as a result, look how divided the country is. I've been around for over half a century, never seen anything like it. People literally seethingly hate each other. And why? Well, Bill Blair really engages in hate speech, right? This is really the definition, because he's taking people like us who don't deserve to be labeled any of those things. And he's public. He's using the platform of the Canadian government, of a government ministry, to tell Canadians, tell the public that that's what we are. Why does he do that? Does he do that because he wants people to listen to his facts? No, he's doing that to prejudice people so that they hate us. They hate gun owners in general. They hate people like me. That's like I said before, I'm sure my wife and children and neighbors and all the people that I have in my life and all the people I've trained and all the people I've met in business would be very surprised to find out that I'm an extremist working for some terrorist organization, and I'm a misogynist and a racist. Like, they'd be very surprised at that, right? They'd be like, I don't know. And I'd be like, yeah, me neither. Like, the reality versus what they say are two different things. But they do that so that people seethingly hate you so bad that anything that ever comes out of your mouth, even if it's the God's honest truth, they won't listen to it. They'll discount it. And it works, right? Because 40% of the population, unqualified number, I think, in my opinion, are very weak people looking for, and especially now in these rudderless times, they don't know who to believe because there's so much lying in the media and the government, like in your face lies that you could easily refute and debunk. But they need, the people are looking so, they're so desperate for direction that they'll believe anything. And they'll get on a team and they will be like literally drooling with their hate for people that are on the other side of the political spectrum or on the other side of an issue. Well, that translates down to Twitter, translates down to individual people, right? They're susceptible to that. And we see those people on Twitter all the time. That includes Bill Blair. He does the same thing on Twitter, right? So they say all these horrible things. And the CCFR, I mean, how many times have I, you know, reached out to the doctors group and said, hey, you know, let's just, we want the same things. And I think we can help each other. And what a great demonstration it would be in these dark times, these times of political division. Can you imagine If the doctors group, some, you know, few, even one or two of them said, you know what, let's sit down. Let's show Canadians that we're all Canadians together and that we don't have to be divided, that we can just talk about these things together. Can you imagine how uplifting that would be? Imagine how enlightening and how positive people would feel about something like that, right? Or Bill Blair was able to do some personal reflection and say, hey, despite all of the lies that I've said about Rod Giltaka, that guy's still willing to sit down and have a polite conversation. Look how polite I was when I met with him, even while he lied to my face about stuff that wasn't true in front of me, lied about me to me, right? But I'd still sit down. And because someone has to meet everybody just over halfway, or none of this was ever going to happen. We're just going to become more divided, right? And who would have ever thought it was the gun lobby that was willing to do that? On the other hand, you've got people that have followed Bill Blair's example and Justin Trudeau's example and of all the other, many other Liberal MPs' example, which is just to seethingly hate everybody that disagrees with you and call them the worst names, right? And try to make people hate them, try to get other people publicly to hate them so that they diminish them and they can segregate them and they can do all these horrible things to them and use the government's power against them, right? This is what they're trying to do. So anyway, on Twitter, you know, as gun owners, we are sick and tired of that. We're sick and tired of being called the worst things for no good reason, right? For no proof. And the CCFR has kind of made it a mandate to start suing people and taking them to task. So, you know, just from my selfish viewpoint, I look at these people, I'm like, obviously your mother or your father or whoever your caregiver never taught you how to be a moral human being. And now you've turned into this horrible, trolling, terrible, malevolent person that just tries to get other people to hate people that you don't agree with. Maybe we need to hold you. Maybe we need to teach you those lessons that your parents didn't teach you. And you know what? I don't mind being that guy, because sometimes you can produce a good person, right? I've been kicked around a lot. I've had to pay dearly for a lot of my mistakes. And I think it was better. I learned more from my mistakes than I ever learned from my successes, I will assure you. So anyway, to the people on Twitter that would slander us and defame us for no reason other than to try to get other people to hate us, or because you don't have an argument, understand this. When I go on Twitter, or Tracy does, or Mike Loberg, General Counsel of the CCFR, goes on Twitter and says, we're considering litigating you. We'd like you to determine whether that tweet that you sent out, whether your hubris is so strong that you think that tweet is worth being sued, where it'll cost you $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, and we'll drag you through the court system for 3 years. You really need to think about that, because if it gets that far where Mike Loberg is talking about it, he'll sue you on behalf of us. If I'm talking about it, I will sue you. And if I actually send you a defamation letter, I say I'm sending you one unless that tweet is gone within 24 hours. I'm not joking. I've said that before on this podcast. So I'm hoping some of you people are on there. Like, I'm not kidding. I have the money and I already made the decision to allocate those funds. And understand this as well. If you think we don't have lawyers on retainer, we have a lot of lawyers that are gun owners that are sick and tired of being treated like garbage for no good reason, right? And they give us excellent rates and they're extremely aggressive and they will make sure that justice is done. So those are some of the relationships that we have. So it's very inexpensive for us to carry out court cases that would cost, you know, $30,000, $50,000, $80,000, $100,000. It's very inexpensive. And a lot of gun owners are glad that the CCFR is standing up for them. And I want to give you one analogy, and this is important. The CCFR and gun owners, like we're the, you know, we represent a lot of gun owners, okay? So we probably have 50 to 70,000 people that donate to us. We have somewhere around 34,000 members, and that fluctuates, you know, based on renewals and stuff like that. But in our donor pool, it's, yeah, somewhere around 70, 80,000 people. Not everybody's a member. And we get sizable donations. I think we have more money than any gun lobby ever had in Canadian history. It's not like US, but we do very well. And this enables us to do all these things. And gun owners are like the kid that gets bullied at school. You got a whole crowd of people that are bullying these kids. And then you have one or two people that are really hitting the kids, right? And so gun owners are like, because if you think about the disposition of gun owners, what do we want? We just want to be left alone. We're 115% compliant with every law. As an instructor, 4,000 people I've trained in the firearms licensing course and then other training as well, which I've told people, your responsibility, you know, is to, as a law-abiding gun owner, is to 105% comply with the law. I comply probably 115% because I always like to stay in the, you know, the white side of gray. But I tell people, like, that's your duty. If you want to call yourself that, be that person, then you got to comply with the law. And if you don't like the law, politically, you should oppose it. So that's who gun owners are. That's who licensed gun owners are. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to get these people out of our lives. We're trying to get the punitive measures repealed because they don't have a demonstrable effect on public safety. And we're trying to stop ridiculous stuff that's just meant to hurt licensed gun owners and not stop violence. We're trying to keep those measures from being put in place. We're trying to get people out of our lives. So we're like that kid that for the last three, four decades has just trying to get every day after school, you know, especially when the shootings, right? Because we're like, oh, we're going to get blamed and we're going to get, you know, held accountable for it. So it's like every day after school, the kid's like, oh, it's going to happen again. And we're trucking home, trying to run home or whatever. And then here comes the crowd of kids with a couple of chief bullies. And they come and they're punching the kid in the back of the head and they're slapping him, they're throwing water, throwing rocks at him, grabbing his backpack, pulling him, trying to throw him to the ground, watch him get up and try to run home. And they'll run after him and try to hit him in the back of the head. Those are gun owners, right? And the CCFR has gotten to the point, it's like, well, we tried doing things a normal way, trying to encourage people to just sit down and talk so we could have a normal conversation. And we get nothing but hate speech, people trying to associate us with bad people. And now the CCFR is that bullied kid that's had enough. We've turned around and we're swinging for the fences. So we're going to sue people if they defame us, right? And we've already started. So that's why you're seeing that. So if you're one of those people that thinks you're going to sit behind an anonymous Twitter account or a social media account and you're going to say whatever you want to us, you're wrong. Because how Twitter works is if someone defames you, if they've committed a tort against you and you want to file a statement of claim, you can apply to the court for a court order for Twitter to provide all the information for that account, and Twitter saves everything. So if you had a previous account that was linked, we'll get that information too. Okay. We've already done it. So it takes a while. It takes 3, 4, 5 months to get that from Twitter. By the time you get a court order and it gets to Twitter, but they will surrender all of that information. We've done it already. Okay. So if you think you got an anonymous account, you're going to get a statement of claim. So if I'm on there, I say, I'm going to sue you. I'm going to get your information. I'm going to get it. If Loberg says that, he's going to get it. If Wilson says it, she's going to get it, and we will sue you. And when I say I'll make you a 3-year project, I mean, I might only live 5 years, but I'll spend 3 years. I'll get 20, 30 of these lawsuits going. We have the resources to do it. We have the relationships to do it. And you know what? Sometimes people, they're just not going to start behaving like they should behave until someone takes them to task. And if it's a CCFR that's got to do it, then I'm going to do it. And because it's we're never going to get anywhere in this country if all we're doing is slinging insults at each other. The gun control debate is never going to get settled until we stop just slinging insults at each other. We stop acting like the worst possible people. You just can't do it. You know, when it comes to the doctor's group, I want to tell you something else. I didn't even plan to talk about it. You know, one of the doctors in the doctor's group sent me a card when I got the cancer diagnosis. He knew what I was going to go through because he's a doctor. He knows that stuff. That is his expertise, by the way. He's not an oncologist, but that's his expertise. And he sent a very nice card. I just haven't got a chance to get back to him, but I'm going to send them a nice card as well. But when it came to engaging with the doctors, the minute that we started disagreeing with them, it was bad names, and it's never their tactic. And I think it came from their comms guy. They're like, oh, here's how you do it. You just make everybody think that they're racist and misogynist and extremist, and that they're being funded by the NRA in America, and always put NRA in all of the tweets. Like, they've slandered the hell out of us. And like, I personally haven't done anything to deserve that. Certainly I've gone back at them. Once that slander started, I'm like, okay, well, I'll play that game a little bit with you. And I threw some stuff, even a couple of things. I'm like, I went a little far, but I'm just a normal person, right? And so I can get emotional too. Not very often, but on occasion, right? And, you know, I've tried to tell them things and they've tried to use that against us if we've said something ridiculous. Remember, if you remember the whole ERT thing, which is funny because I was completely vindicated when the Fifth Estate said, oh yeah, no knock raids are going on all the time. It's caused the death of young people in Toronto even, right? But anyway, whatever. All those things. But what I wanted to say about that is I think whether it's encouraging people by suing them or taking them to task personally like that, or even just having conversations like this, I hold out hope that there are people, even in the Canadian Doctors for Protection from Guns, of all people, I hold out hope that there's one or two good people in there that be like, you know what? We've tried that approach. It's done nothing but divide us all. It's done nothing but make people hate each other for no good reason. You know, I don't think the doctors are really bad people. They just don't know how to do it. Certainly we're not bad people. We're just reacting to our battle space, what we see in front of us. And I think there's always an opportunity for us to come together and do the right thing for Canadians and to talk like adults and mature, caring people that really want to solve the problem, that really at the end of the day want the same things. I think that that's possible. So I'm always holding out hope, and the door's always open to forgive and forget about everything and just move forward together. That's the only way for us to get better as a country. That's the only way to do it. It's not going to work the way that we're doing it, the way Justin Trudeau is doing it, the way Bill Blair does it, the way these Twitter troll miserable people that have no lives just want to spread their misery. There's no way that that's going to make anybody any better. It's going to make gun owners more angry because they haven't done anything to deserve it. It's going to make anti-gun people because they're not going to get what they want. And all Canadians are going to be left holding the bag because the violence is never going to stop. So I talked a really long time on that, but hopefully that just gets you to know a little bit more about why we do the things that we do and what the CCFR is all about. And hopefully you support that if you're a member and that you're happy with the work that we're doing, because we're sick and tired of it. We're standing up for gun owners no matter what, no matter what it takes, no matter how long it takes or how much effort it takes. We're not going to be the picked on kid anymore. Okay, so I beat that to death, didn't I? Bill Blair videos. Okay, this is some funny stuff. I got my notes. Check it out. Bill Blair during the election. I'm just going to play. These are really short clips, but anyway, just such an example of... Wow, this guy's really something. Check it out.
Hello, everyone. I'm Bill Blair, the Liberal candidate for Scarborough Southwest. Today, the gun lobby has been distributing their lies and propaganda in writings right across Ontario, including right here in Scarborough Southwest, a community that has experienced the tragedy of gun violence. They're attempting to defeat Liberal candidates and to elect Conservative MPs. And they have been distributing a pamphlet which frankly contains far more lies than even Mr. O'Toole has told about his plans to tear up our gun laws.
Bill Blair talking about other people's lies. Can you imagine? Right? Bill Blair complaining about lies. You know, if you guys remember, as I mentioned, that booklet, 100% reference. We even put a QR codes to just you scan with your phone to get the references where all that stuff, 100% true. And it's wild, right? I think it's amazing to me how anyone could believe a thing coming out of Bill Blair's mouth, right? Like I feel bad for anyone that would believe anything he had to say. Just you've been so deceived, but anyway, pretty hilarious. And yeah, a pamphlet that contains frankly more lies than O'Toole is told. Oh, good God. Anyway, here's another
conservatives.
One.
Mr. O'Toole promised the gun lobby that he would reverse our assault weapon ban that prohibited over 1,500 extremely dangerous weapons that have no place in our communities. Aaron O'Toole also promised the...
You know, and what's interesting about that video is he's so unprofessional. The guy is like, he knew he was going to win because the voter base in his area. If you ever go to his riding, take a drive around there, have a look around. It's, anyway, you know, he was in a safe riding regardless, but it's so funny. He couldn't even put the amount of effort it took to write a proper script and to talk to the camera. Right. And who knows who his helper is that you turn a page and, I don't know. He's just so unprofessional. It's such a joke. Anyway, check out another one.
And unfortunately, Mr. O'Toole is not being upfront about his plans. He and his candidates have made big promises to the gun lobby. They sought their support and they took their money. And the gun lobby knows that if elected, Aaron O'Toole will be beholden to their agenda and deliver on the promises he made to them. Notwithstanding, it's the wrong thing to do for Canadians. Conservatives want to rip up the progress that we have made in this country on gun control. And frankly, Canadians deserve better than this. We deserve stronger, safer communities, honest government, and Canadians have a clear choice on September 20th. They can either choose to keep their communities safe, or they can allow Mr. O'Toole to deliver on his promises to the gun profiteers.
But yeah, you know, Aaron O'Toole has taken money from us. We've never, ever made a single donation to a political party. We've never made a single donation on behalf of the CCFR to a politician. We've never, ever given money to any of these people. That's not our role to do that. I don't know about any of the other groups. I can't speak for them, but we've never done that. So anyway, more lies from Bill Blair and the gun profiteers. The gun profiteers. And it's funny because people ask us all the time where our money comes from. We have audited financials. We're in full compliance with the Not-for-Profit Act or the Corporations Act. We have... It costs us $15,000 a year for fully audited financials every year. You just, If you want to know where our money comes from, just go to Corporations Canada and you request the financials. You get them. It's funny. People are like, when are you going to release your financials? Like, you moron. And there's an ad hominem right there. You moron. You can get it yourself just by ordering it off the government website. And people are so funny. Anyway, here's another one.
It's sad but not surprising that the National Rifle Association has put out a statement in support of Aaron O'Toole's plan to legalize assault weapons and to bring American-style gun laws to Canada. That's the same National Rifle Association that has dominated American politics and has led the United States to the highest rates of gun violence in the world.
Ah, so that's another great one, right? So what does he say? Oh, that Aaron O'Toole got a statement of support from the NRA. You know, it's funny because I looked and I found that article that he was talking about, and there was no statement of support whatsoever from the NRA to Aaron O'Toole. This guy lies like he breathes. He really does. It's amazing. Like I said, I feel sorry for anyone that would ever believe a word that he has to say because they'd just be deceived. And they'd be like, oh, why do I believe this Bill Blair guy, right? And then what was the other thing? Oh, yeah, the United States has the highest gun violence in the world. Yeah, not even close. Like they're in like 180th or 190th place of all countries in the world. And most of the countries in front, same thing in front of Canada, you can't legally own firearms in. So anyway, just the guy, wow. I don't know how I can tell so many lies so quickly. Anyway, do I have one more? Oh yeah. Here's this one.
Above all, they deserve honesty from Mr. O'Toole. He needs to come clean about the promises that he's made to the gun lobby and about his plan to bring American gun culture to Canada.
And again, of course, uses the same, you know, Christopher Hallcroft / Docs for Protection from Guns thing. You know, obviously we want American gun culture. This is all about us bringing American style gun laws, American NRA, America. And then they share all these stories of shootings in America and whatever. And so, of course, America is a completely different case. There's nothing similar between our gun laws. There's nothing similar for the reason we own guns, why we can legally, like completely different situation in Canada, different numbers, different everything, right? Than it is in the United States. But the only thing they can do is they can link it so people think that America bad, Canada good, you want America. Again, it's really hate speech. It's just designed to prejudice anyone so that they would never listen to the other side of the story. They would just forget it. Look at the white coats, look at the government minister, you know, just labeling people as racist. Don't ever listen to them. Yeah. Same crap, different day with these guys. But anyway, all right. Now, all of that, one thing I did want to cover is all of that sounds very negative. Okay. And you know, we got a liberal government again. It's not going to be long until our role turns into opposing legislation. Just give it a couple of months. I'm sure they'll come out with something. And even worse, Bill C-21 that's with mandatory buybacks and all the rest of that stuff. And then, of course, all this stuff. I don't know that Bill Blair or Justin Trudeau will ever act like responsible adults and think about what's really best for the country in the long term. And they'll continue to divide us. I have no faith in them whatsoever. And that's very negative. It's cynical, right? But I will tell you this. Persevere. Okay. Until the last break action, hinge action firearm is taken from a licensed Canadian, a Canadian gun owner, we still have a fight to fight. So perseverance. When it comes to these things, as I mentioned in the last episode, right, that everything is incremental, incrementalism, right? All the gun grabbers never got everything 30 years ago in one action. It's still 30 years later. You know, that took them 30 years to get our AR-15s, and they don't really have them yet either, right? So persevere. This is a marathon. It's not a sprint. So just persevere. Keep your head up. Try to stay positive. Try to, you know, if all the stuff that I have to deal with at work and personally too, I'm completely optimistic that maybe we will have a breakthrough and we will bring Canadians back together and stuff like that. You have to believe that at some level. You don't have to be delusional, but you have to believe that that's possible to continue to fight. You have to be dispassionate too, which I work on a lot, to be less passionate about all of this stuff so that it can be more effective. So just bear with it. Just keep going. Just keep swimming. The CCFR will never give up fighting for your guns as long as you don't forgive up. You never give up supporting us, because we can't do it without your support. Stay with us and we will keep fighting. And right down to the last firearm, you never know, things could turn around. So I know all this stuff sounds negative, but persevere, stay positive. We aren't out of the fight yet. I just thought it was just something that needed to be said. All right, last thing. I want to just let you know what we're going to do. I know it's been a long time, 30 minutes already. I want to tell you about some of the projects. So the election's over. we are going to face another election in 18 months, almost guaranteed. You know, these are power starved people, right? Justin Trudeau will go for another election right away and will be even more ready. So we'll have another election campaign, even better than this one. I talked about that in the last podcast, so I'm not going to readdress that. Look at everything we did, how effective we thought it was, and then triple or quadruple whatever we did that we thought was effective. A lot of that is the brochure thing, right? But some of the stuff that you can look forward to us is number one, when new legislation comes out and talks about municipal handgun bans or municipal firearm bans, the CCFR will be there. We had a plan already when it came to Bill C-21 that was going to be looking at municipal handgun bans and how we're going to battle that municipality through municipality. What is there, 3,000 or something across Canada? We will make sure that everyone has the tools and the methods and a little bit of legal advice and how to organize people and what they can count on from the CCFR. All that stuff will be ready by the time that we see a municipal handgun ban being legally viable. So we will be there to help you fight that all the way in every municipality. I'm not saying, well, you know, I'll be flying out or Tracy will be flying out to every one of these, but we'll make sure you have all the tools and the know-how to find out how it's done and to organize it, to push back against these municipalities that want to do handgun bans because they're ludicrous. They're not going to work and they're just hurting people, only licensed gun owners. Ridiculous. Also, we're going to get back to providing some fact sheets and essays and explainer videos, right? I mean, I haven't done a lot of those. I haven't done any of those for a long time because we've been busy with a million other things. As you well know, we do a lot of work for a small group of people. But we're going to get back to doing some of that if we can have time. Obviously, we're doing lobbying where it counts. We will also be there to consult with government and to testify against, you know, new legislation that comes and to consult on that, whether it's in House committees or it's in the Senate. We will be following and opposing any and all new legislation that goes all the way through. You've seen what that looks like because we've been doing that already. We're going to be doing more television. I'm already in the process of putting together possibly another show, maybe just one-off episodes, or maybe I'll do a series. We'll see. It's a lot of work to do those, but certainly I have one show in the queue, which would be with Wild TV, Gun Ban Canada Addendum, which is like, where have we been and where are we going since Gun Ban Canada Exposed ended? So look for more television that we will be doing. The court case is continuing on. Just so you know, if you have an expired membership with the CCFR or you're considering donating, don't wait. Renew your membership and stuff, because now that the court case is back on and that schedule, we're going through that schedule, I'm starting to get big bills from legal bills again. And some of those invoices are pretty big. So we definitely need your help if you're in a position to do it. These are tough times. If you're not, don't worry about it, right? But if you're in a position to make a donation or to renew your membership, please do that. I would greatly appreciate it. All right. And and ensuring that people are held accountable for lying and slandering our community. I talked about that to death. So hopefully you guys are in favor of that. If you're not, you know what? I do read the comments. So if you're not in favor of us taking people to task, whether they're politicians or nutty professors from obscure universities or, you know, just nameless people on Twitter or anti-gunners or whatever, if you want to see us continue to hold people accountable, it doesn't cost that much. As long as we have your support, we can continue to do that. And we'll even ramp it up, and I'm happy to do it. I'm happy to put my name on it on your behalf. So let us know how you feel about that stuff, because that's really important. I really want to know that, because I want to be doing the right thing for you guys, because we're only here because you let us be here. Okay. Anyway, I beat that to death. Thanks for hanging in there. Here's Tracy Wilson. Wilson.
Giltaka.
How's it going?
That's catching on, actually. I was away over the weekend and I was at an event, and every time I turn around the corner, someone would yell, Wilson. So it just makes me laugh because it's catching on everywhere. Pretty funny.
Well, the podcast is actually doing reasonably well. Like if you look at YouTube and Facebook, because I upload it. I've been uploading it for, I don't know, whatever, quite a few months, maybe 6 months, directly to Facebook so that people can see it in their app and stuff. We're getting anywhere from 12 to 20,000 views between those two platforms. So,
wow, that's impressive.
People are watching it, which is, I can't be more honored. So that's awesome.
Well,
So I'm not surprised is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm not going to fluff your feathers too much, but I think it's a really great way for people to come and connect with you, and they miss you and they like seeing you and see how you're doing.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So we've got a few things to cover. And first thing is, let's talk about the range day that you went to with Mandolin Mayhew that was shown on, well, I guess that will be an episode of her television show.
Yeah, that's right. So Amanda Lynn Mayhew from Just Hunt, she's got a TV show on Sportsman Channel Canada called That Hunting Girl. And she hosted the first range day since pre-pandemic times at East Grey Hunters and Anglers, just in Meaford, Ontario, actually. Beautiful place. I got to tell you, that whole Georgian Bay area is just something to behold. It's gorgeous. Anyways, I went down and supported her event. We ran 72 women over a two-day period through the women's program. They got the opportunity to try handguns, rifles, shotguns, and archery. And it was all smiles. There was a lot of cool, magical moments. And of course, the guys from Coat of Arms were there. It was great to see Corey and Mike. And they filmed it. And it will be on an episode next season on That Hunting Girl. You can catch it on Sportsman Channel Canada.
Awesome.
Yeah, good time.
Yeah, cool. Well, it's always good to see the ladies get out there. And it's, you know, it's funny. People politically think that women, there's no women gun owners and it's all men or whatever. But you get the ladies out of those ladies' range days, and we've done like literally hundreds of them. And well, they're into it. They just go crazy.
Well, we actually had a visit from MP Alex Ruff, who is the Member of Parliament for Bruce Gray Owen Sound, the riding that this range is in. Beautiful range, by the way. And he came out and he said the same thing. He said, you know, these types of events are integral to changing the stereotypes and the, you know, sort of negative imagery that people have about gun owners. And it's true. Like, the girls come out. This was an event, you know, put on by women, for women, by women, and they loved it. And yeah, you're going to see a lot of really cool moments on the upcoming episode. I think Coat of Arms is also going to put out, you know, one of those videos that they do. It's almost like a little trailer for the episode. That'll be out a little sooner. So we'll get a sneak peek at what went on. And yeah, as usual, just another rocking, amazing, awesome time with incredible women.
Awesome. Okay. Well, and that's good work. That's important work that the CCFR does. And I think we, on another episode, we talked about it a while. And like, I keep forgetting that we do these things because I don't do anything for those things. You do it all. And our volunteers do it. But yeah, it's a really, really great thing to do. Okay. Next on my list is important because we're way behind because of what's gone on with me and in the election and all that stuff, which is the neon sign draw.
Yeah.
Now, let me get this, this fired up here.
This
real
is
quick.
Fun.
Yeah. All right. Boom. There we go. Now, this neon sign draw didn't do so well because we never pushed it and people forget and whatnot. But so we pretty much covered our costs, but the show will go on. Thanks to everybody who entered. Today we are drawing from number one, row number one. Let me move this over here. All the way down to 271. So 1 through 271. So we'll do our random.org thing here. 271, I said. 271.
Yep.
And let's hit it. 197. 197. We've got Graham from Ajax, Ontario. I'm going to go back to our other view so I can tell everybody Graham's full name. I don't want to reveal everybody's. Graham Clark from Ajax, Ontario, from Mark Holland's riding.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
That's so perfect. And I think that was the firearm rights or human rights sign, I believe, right?
Was it? Or was it a CCFR one, the one that you have behind?
Oh, yeah. No, it was the CCFR one. You're correct.
Okay, yeah.
So the next one is going to be we're going to keep doing this. And this is a great opportunity for those of you who are looking for, you know, maybe budgeted, you can help out the CCFR with $10 a month. This is the best way to do it because your $10 now becomes an entry to win one of many signs, and we give one away every month. So this is a perfect opportunity to help the CCFR and win cool stuff. So the next one will be the these guns are not for sale. And that's honestly my favorite one because it's a little spicy. So
now,
I like
it. Yeah. Now that one, these guns are not for sale. That one, is that the one that says these guns is in red? Because you didn't put it up because, you know, you've been run all over the place. I've been busy, all that stuff, right?
Normally I would have liked to put it on the wall, but I just didn't, I just didn't get there. But yeah, it's two-tone. The font is in two, like some are, words are in red, some are in white. And that's, got the big AR-15 across it. Similar to the firearm rights or human rights type style. And these are huge. Like those two styles are massive. They're like over 3 feet long. Like they're watching me package it up upstairs in the kitchen floor is insane. Like the kids laugh their heads off because it's a monstrosity by the time I get it all wrapped up. So yeah, it's funny.
Hey, wait a second. Wasn't the sign, it wasn't a CCFR. Wasn't it the CCFR radio one?
I don't know. Now we're going to have to watch our own podcast.
All right. Yeah, exactly. I'm not editing anything. I'm not putting anything in here.
Don't even edit it.
We're going to figure out what sign you won.
Yeah, these two people are a mess. Rod and Tracy don't have it together.
Well, it's been, I think both of us have had issues. You know, I've got lots of issues. And
a few things happened.
You almost killed yourself through exhaustion.
Yes.
But anyways, okay, cool. So congratulations, Graham, on winning a sign that will be revealed, you know, when I watched two podcasts ago. Yeah, exactly. You want a sign of some sort. So we'll get that over to Graham, and then we'll circulate pictures and posts of the new sign. And then in the next podcast, I will we'll get whatever the next sign is up on your wall, and people can see it.
Yeah, then. I'll get it on the wall for next time. I'm sorry, guys.
Shut yeah, up. But all that to say, you know, if you're going to donate money to the CCFR, just make sure that you do that and enter the contest, because then you get a chance to win. We're going to talk about the recruitment contest in a second too. So there's like, by donating anything or renewing your CCFR membership, there's like two different contests that you'll be entered into. So, you know, just we're doing everything we can to reward you for helping us and helping us work on your behalf and being a strong organization that where people know that we mean business. I talked about that in the intro. So, all right. So renewal gifts, that's the other thing.
Yeah. So each year, well, for those of you who are new members, you might not know this, but when you first sign up for membership within the CCFR, we send you a really nice membership card. Now at the beginning, you know, most organizations just kind of send another card every year. And it was actually you who said, man, isn't that kind of a waste of money? Like what happens after 10 years? You got a big stack of plastic that's, you know, kind of not good for anything. And you're right. So we opted instead that each year as a renewal gift after your first year of membership, you would get something different. So we've done patches, challenge coins, all kinds of stuff. Staffer Steve actually designed this year, and it's cool. It's big. It's like a 6-inch circle. I haven't got mine yet. You probably haven't either, but it's like a big 6-inch circle transfer decal, like one you could put on a vehicle, or I guess you could really put it anywhere, but really nice. A big gray circle with the CCFR logo in the middle. It says 2021 member. These are kind of tokens of appreciation, little keepsakes. They're affordable to mail, so it's not breaking the bank, you know. I mean, we'd love to send you everybody a, you know, a hoodie or something, but it's literally impossible because it's got to be able to fit in an envelope and go out for the cost of a regular stamp, right? Now, there's always lots of controversy. People post, you know, pictures of their new, the decal when they receive it with the letter from Rod in the mail. They post it in the group and somebody's like, well, I haven't got mine yet. They literally just started going out like 24 hours ago. So give it some time. I don't have mine yet either. If you haven't received your renewal letter from Rod with your little gift, by Remembrance Day, you can send an email to adam@info@firearmrights.ca. But just have a little patience. We're late getting it out this year for obvious reasons. And yeah, that stuff will get out. A lot of people also talk about, you know, well, it goes both ways, right? Some people are like, hey, where's my stuff? And other people are like, you know what? I don't even want you to send me anything. Put the money towards the fight. And then the majority of people are somewhere in the middle. This is a small, inexpensive token of our appreciation. It's always something that you could show your pride in being a member of the CCFR. You know, if you don't want it, I'm sure you could find a friend at the range or a hunting buddy or somebody to give it to that is also a member. But yeah, we just want you to know that we do appreciate your support, and that's why we send stuff. You know, if you really don't want to receive things, you could email Adam and they will take you off the list. You can be removed from that list, so you don't get renewal things for those that don't want it. But I think the majority of people kind of like getting mail, and it's fun, and you get a nice letter from Rod. So, yeah.
That's the biggest bonus of all, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, if you need to start a campfire, you could always use that for that. Kindling. So, and with the cards, if you guys remember way back in the day, one of the reasons why I moved away from cards is they're really expensive, right? And my take on it was like, you know, there's other things that we can do that's less expensive. That's maybe more practical, like a deckle or something like that. And we can use more money to fight the anti-gunners and fight, you know, gun regulations and the government and all the rest of that stuff. And yeah. I think a lot of people agreed with that. Some people really love doing the cards. And we've talked about a bunch of different things. Like if you want a card, you can pay for an extra card if that's really meaningful to you. So there's a bunch of things still floating around. As you guys know, we're a very small team. We do a tremendous amount of work at the CCFR. Like we work ourselves to death, right? Like look what we did in the election, distributed 260,000 pamphlets, well, 240 for sure, mm-hmm. you know, and mainstream media television and, you know, billboards previous to that, a month previous to that, and just all kinds of stuff like that. And we're a very small team, so it's very difficult. We have a big whole list of things that we want to do, but again, because we're a lean organization, we can do all that work and have the money to do it because we have a small team. So one of the things that's a side effect of that, or, you know, is we can only do so much as, you know, basically four people. So anyway.
Yeah.
Excellent. And then I guess last but not least, there was a Conservative Party of Canada caucus meeting
a
couple of days ago, right?
Yeah. Post-election. I mean, the House is still not, it hasn't risen yet. They have not reconvened. But each team usually gets together with their caucus, with their newly elected MPs. You know, there's been some changes amongst the teams. I mean, generally things stayed the same. But, you know, they got to get together with the team. So the entire CPC caucus met at Stornoway here in Ottawa this week. Stornoway is the official residence of the leader of the opposition. It's a beautiful storybook house in Rockcliffe Park. Gorgeous, actually. And some interesting things happened there. I mean, of course, we're not privy to it. And the media hangs out outside waiting to try and get comments as they come out. I think they were in there, locked in there 6.5 or 7 hours. But they voted on a new motion that would give caucus members the ability to call for a leadership review. I think they need 60% of caucus to agree. However, they didn't vote to remove O'Toole at this time. So, as you know, Erin O'Toole, leader of the official opposition, has pledged to produce, you know, a full review of the entire election, what worked, what obviously didn't work, and where things can go from here, what the priorities should be. At this meeting, they appointed a chairman, I believe a former MP, who's going to chair that review. And basically, yeah, they're just going to drill down and see what worked and what didn't. So, yeah, not a lot happening on that front. Like I said, the House has not risen or has not been seated again. Don't know when that'll be. Rumors here in Ottawa are it won't be until after Remembrance Day, which I have no idea why. But in any event, we should be getting news out of the Liberal caucus shortly on what their cabinet is going to look like. So caucus is the entirety of all their MPs. And then cabinet is the people they appoint to ministerial positions. And then, of course, O'Toole, on the flip side, will have to appoint his shadow ministry or opposition cabinet. So, yeah, so that should be happening in the next couple of weeks. I don't know when Parliament will resume. But, yeah, it looks like sometime in November. The Prime Minister said in his last press conference that it would be before the end of fall. But I mean, the last day of fall, I think, is December 22nd. So I don't know how much time they need to get rolling. And I guess it's sort of a blessing because if they're not working in the House of Commons, then they're not
legislating
terrible things.
Yeah, exactly. They're not trying to hurt us.
Yeah. It's sort of right now we're just watching to see, you know, there's been a call from the anti-gun groups to remove Bill Blair from their position because as tough as he is, you know, stepping on the head gun.
I didn't hear that.
Not enough.
I didn't hear that.
Oh yeah, they've yes. You go over to Pauly Sisuvian's Twitter, and you'll find they've got multiple news articles. Of course, the media fawns over them whenever they put something out, and they put out a statement calling for Justin Trudeau to appoint somebody who would take gun control more seriously.
Well, like more seriously than gun bans, I guess they want our doors kicked in and our houses set on fire or something, right?
I don't know. Like, I don't know who you're going to get that's going to, you know, step on the heads of gun owners any tougher than Bill Blair. But God help us all.
Yeah, that guy is into cracking skulls. Probably. Yeah, I would imagine that he's been restrained by Justin Trudeau. But anyway.
I don't know. We're in upside down world as usual. But lots of stuff to watch there. But moving at the speed of government. So
yeah. Well, the less action when there's a liberal government in charge, the better for gun owners and honest people. I think moral people.
Yeah. Well, Jagmeet actually put out a statement today too, saying that, you know, although a lot of his ideals align with the liberal government, he won't think twice about voting down legislation if he doesn't get everything he wants. So I don't know. Maybe Jagmeet Singh's really the prime minister. It seems he's pulling the
balance of power. Yeah, well, him and the bloc, right?
Oh yeah, he's calling the shots, right? So
he's the kingmaker. Anyway, cool. Well, thanks for the update, and we'll have a lot more to talk about probably next episode. Anyway, as we kind of get back into the swing of things.
Yes.
Anyway, thanks for coming on, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, we'll talk soon.
All right, that's going to do it for episode 101 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. 101 episodes. How long can we continue to do this? I really appreciate you guys coming by. I just got a couple of things I want to throw your way just before I let you go, and then I'll let you know, and then I'll do my little health update. And if you're not interested in that, you can watch something else. So I'll give you the heads up. Okay. If you are a member of the CCFR and you have an expired membership, consider renewing that membership. If you're not a member, consider becoming a member. Or if you want to make a small donation to the CCFR, consider doing that. You can make recurring donations, small ones too, to the CCFR if you're into that, $10 a month or whatever. If you can do that, do it. These are hard times. If you can't, don't do it. Okay. But for me, I would much rather a lot of people do just a little bit that's tolerable in their lives than a handful of people doing everything, because it's too much of a burden and it's not sustainable. It's a lot easier for a lot of people to do something small, okay? And the reason why I'm asking you to do that, especially right now, is we spent a lot of money during the election. We spent a lot of money before the election. If you remember the billboard campaigns, we did some other media stuff and radio ads before the election. And we did all that, of course, during the election and the brochure, 250,000 brochures, distributed all that stuff. Costs a lot of money to do that. And of course, we're holding people to account for what they say and what they do. And we're doing all of our educational materials and all the rest of that stuff. The only reason we can throw our weight around like that is because we have the money. We have your support to do that. We're a small team with some very, very specific expertise. And as a group, as you know, if you follow us, you know that we're doing every possible thing that can be done. You know, we're not the government. We're not some huge organization either, but we're doing everything that possibly can be done to preserve your ability to own and use firearms. Anything that can be done, TV, you name it, we're doing it. But we can only do that when we have the resources to do it. So if you forgot or whatever, you could see your way clear to send a donation, I would greatly appreciate it. I may start having to worry about money soon. We're okay. But I've got bigger bills coming because the lawsuit is starting up again. I'm starting to get those bills and they're big. And the reason they're big is because we hired, you know, a huge high-level legal team just so that we could say, our community could say, at least we tried that once. We didn't just get one single guy in a firm and a couple of paralegals or whatever. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But we, you know, here we are again, getting our ARs taken. It's taken the 30 years to get them. But now they're banned, right? We still have them, thankfully. So I don't know, maybe we can save them. But here we are with another gun ban. And so our approach was to try something very different in hopes that maybe it would work. Maybe it would be different. I can't tell you it'll work or not, right? Because that's the honest truth. But that's the route we took. So some bigger bills are coming in. So if you can help us out, that'd be great. And we'll continue to fight on your behalf no matter what. Now, the other thing I want to talk about real quick is I went on and on about the stuff that we do and why we do it in the beginning, right? Sorry for it being so long, but it was kind of a bunch of stuff that had to be said. When it comes to these videos, right, these podcasts, I will read the comments usually about a day or two after the podcast is done. Sometimes I'll read them like, you know, an hour after, but whatever, I'll come back. After that, I don't really read them because it's all the same comments with maybe another, there'll be 400 comments. The engagement is unbelievable on these videos and on Facebook too, right? But I'll go through the comments and then, you know, there'll be 400 of them and there'll be a new 100. And that's why I don't come back. So if you want me to know something, put it in the comments. If you're like, I don't like it when you sue people, that's not a good use of my money. That's fine. But if a whole bunch more people say, yeah, man, I want you, you know, standing up for me because somebody has to, and that's what I expect from the CCFR, go ahead and put that in there. I'm reading those, right? And usually I'm not the only one with access to this account, but I'm usually the only one that's, I know a couple of times Steve and some other people have commented that have access to the account, but they don't normally don't. It's me. So if you see from the CCFR channel or whatever, that's me. So anyway, if you have a comment, you want me to know something, go ahead and put it in there. Just do it right away as soon as you watch the video, or do it quick and then it's very likely that I'll see it, or put it on the next podcast right away if you can watch it when it comes out. Okay. Just want to let you know that. Okay. That's it. Thanks for coming. I'm going to talk about my condition in a minute. If you're signing off now, I really appreciate your support. Thanks for coming back. Make sure you share the podcast and we'll see you soon. Okay. So the update, I'm going to make this quick because there's not a lot to talk about. So as you can see, maybe you can see my neck is healing pretty good. Oh, there you can see it there. But that used to be all cracked and bleeding, you know, and it'd be blood on my pillow in the morning. And even if I went, you know, turn my head like that, you know, or the other way, I would feel it cracking. It would bleed and stuff because it's all radiation burns, like down to the whatever, right in deep in the skin and stuff. So that's pretty much all healed up quite nicely over the last week, really, because it got worse, kept getting worse for the first week. So I'm 2 weeks after tomorrow. If you're watching this on Friday, that's 2 weeks past the last time that I had radiation treatment. So they say that the side effects peak 2 weeks after you stop. And you know what? I think it's true. My skin healed, but my mouth has been really bad. My tongue is still bleeding. My cheek is bleeding inside the side. My roof of my mouth is bleeding. It's bleeding down my throat a little bit. You know, like I'm, you know, I spit blood out and stuff. But hopefully it's getting better. It did get worse. It's actually changed. It feels like there's shards of glass, like little slivers of glass in my cheek and stuff. And when I talk, my teeth roll up and down my cheeks, right? And it feels like there's glass in my skin. And same thing with my tongue, super sensitive and whatnot. And, but I mean, it's not so bad that I can't stand it. You know, Tylenol and a couple of hydromorphones, you know, I don't take them when I'm driving to the office, obviously, because I got to drive a car. But when I'm at home, you know, Tylenol and hydromorphones, you know, it's bearable. Even if I don't take painkillers, it's bearable, right? So I've been very lucky in my treatment, super lucky. I'm still eating solid food. It's not comfortable, right? Sometimes take painkillers before I eat, but I'm still eating solid food. So I've gotten through this. I was named best head and neck patient that they had at the BC Cancer Agency in Abbotsford Hospital there. And I don't think it's a real award, but that's what the doctors, the GP there, and one other person. Can't remember the nutritionist or whatever. Maybe it was Terry? Yeah, anyway. Great people over there. I've been treated so well. I can't say enough. I'm not happy with the politicization of medicine right now. Not happy with our medical system. But I'll tell you, at the BC Cancer Agency, just really phenomenal. They really make a huge difference for people going through all that stuff. Not people like me, because I can handle it myself. But a lot of people, they're going through a lot worse than I am. So thank you, everybody over there. I don't know, shout out from the Gun Podcast to the Cancer Agency. But anyway, all that to say, I still got the lump here. This was supposed to go down. I don't know if it's going down anymore. I think maybe it is. But there was another lymph node that was swollen under here. It seems to have gone down. But some people are telling me this might not go down. They may have to offer me surgery to open up my neck and tear that out of there, which there's some bad effects for doing that as well. So I'll think about when the time comes. But I'm hoping that based on my performance throughout the whole treatment, which has been really, really good, that I'll be myself soon. That all this stuff should go away. So I've talked to a lot of different people. It's different for everybody. Sometimes people are hospitalized in week three. Some people got a feeding tube and after the first week, I didn't get any of that stuff. I've skated through this whole thing pretty well. I mean, I put up with the, you know, pain and misery the first 2 weeks with this whole thing was tough, if you remember, but I've been super fortunate. And so I'm hoping, I have unrealistic expectations that I'll actually feel myself in 2 weeks from now. That's my goal. So I eat a lot and I take care of myself and I do all the stuff. So I'll let you know. And if I feel like myself and the stuff's going away and whatnot, probably in 2 weeks will be the last time I update you on my condition because it's just not important anymore. I don't want to talk about cancer anymore. Other than that, last thing I want to say today is I can't help but feel like I've gotten through this whole experience so well because of all the great thoughts and prayers and vibes that you guys are sending me and great messages. And I really appreciate it. And the other help that you've given me. I'll start immunotherapy probably within another 2 weeks. I got some other due diligence, making sure I'm making the right decision, because there's a lot of risk associated with that as well. But I think my due diligence will be finished, and I've already have dates for that. So anyway, I just want to thank you again. There's something in my brain that just can never, I can't reconcile the equation for how much all of you have done for me versus what I've done for you. It's not a balanced equation. I feel like there's no amount of appreciation that I can give you to repay how good all of you have been to me, right? Like, I don't know anybody else that's well known in Canadian society that has gotten so much help and so much praise, you know, people that are far more well known than I am. So I just can't thank you enough and tell you how grateful I am for all of everything that you guys have done for me. So anyway, I'm going to try to stop saying it, 'cause you guys are probably sick of it, but it still amazes me every single day. Okay. So thanks everyone for your help. That's about it. Like I said, maybe the last one will be the next update. Thanks for watching the podcast. Don't forget to share it. Thanks for all your support, and we'll see you soon.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.